today as we come to the table.
I just took a piece of bubble gum from my boss's bubble gum bowl at work. It looks so good, nobody will ever know. We smile about that. The Bible says it is wickedness before God. His definition of purity and holiness, we can't even grasp. That is why when I first came to Christ, God showed me just a teeny tiny bit of his purity. It's the first time I learned what the word weeping really meant. I wept at my evil. I had no idea my heart was as black and dark as it was. Listen, even Christians, guys, when we're pushed to the limit, we can be ugly, can't we? Christians can be ugly. Why? Because we have the two natures, the born again saying, don't do that, and the other one going, get him!
When people push you to the edge of your patience, how do you react? Do you just shut down and refrain from reacting at all? Or do you lash out and let them know they pushed you too far? You may have a small voice telling you to restrain yourself and not react. Many people refer to that as their conscience. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark explains how even the small things, like taking gum or lashing out at people, are considered evil and sinful in the eyes of God. The small voice you hear telling you not to react is the Holy Spirit trying to guide you away from those sins. Learning to listen for that small voice will help you avoid sinning. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 6 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Verse 5, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. And so I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. Now he's going to be measuring the food and drink on the earth. There's going to be great famines and scarcity. Remember, Jesus said, in the very last days, there'll be great famines. Said, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. So the luxuries at this point are going to be left alone. The angel won't be destroying the luxuries, but nobody will care about the luxuries. That's probably why they're not going to be destroyed, because he's going to be taking away the food supply of the earth. Now, it's interesting here, a quart of wheat for a denarius. A denarius was a day's wage, and so probably if you took about the average of salaries today, somewhere maybe in the 40,000 range, I know there's some in the 20,000, people all the way down to lower than that, and some up to whatever, the sky being the limit. But if you chose somewhere in the 40s as the mid-range of the wealthy and the not so wealthy, that would mean that enough wheat here to make a small loaf of bread, not a large one, would be about $150. So you see, not only will there be very scarce food resources, but there's also going to be very scarce ability to buy those food resources. Now, can you imagine what it's going to be like on this planet when a small loaf of bread costs $150? I mean, what do you think it's going to be like at the grocery store when there's only a few pieces left? You know, you want to get a picture of what the Great Tribulation is going to be like, and this is why I'm so glad I'm not going to be here. Remember Hurricane Katrina? That's a small snapshot of what's going to be happening worldwide, not in a small area down in Louisiana. The criminals took the streets over. There was one neighborhood trapped in their neighborhood for almost a month with criminals going up and down the streets with their own weapons, breaking into homes and killing people and robbing things. No police around for almost a month. Food in those areas, you better have stored some up. They begin to drop some later, weeks into it. I mean, you saw the chaos that happened down there in Louisiana. Imagine that worldwide. And let me say this too. That was with the restraint of the Holy Spirit at work. New Orleans had the restraint of the Holy Spirit still working in the earth. and you had that chaos down there for about a month. Imagine what it's going to be like worldwide when the restraint of the Holy Spirit is removed. People are free to kill each other how they want. Food becomes so scarce, if you can find it, it's about $150 to get a small loaf of bread. It's going to be chaotic. And lest you think that mankind is civilized, you know, we tend to give each other too much credit. I think a lot of times we see these people do these horrendous things and we go, I can't believe they would do that. The truth of the matter is we would all do that without the Lord. We're evil, guys. We are. Deny yourself the word and prayer for a while and watch the old self start rising back up. Mark is there like that. And that's Mark, who was raised in a moral home and is restrained by the holy power of the Holy Spirit in the world. As you know, less and less homes are moral these days. Now remove the restraining of the Holy Spirit. Now remove the legal aspect of things because there's chaos and the police can't control it. Now make there be a famine and hardly any food around. What do you think people are going to be like? Guys, it's going to be rabid. Civilized Americans will line up outside a Walmart at Christmas and trample each other for a doll. What happens when it's the only food for your family and there's that big line outside? It's going to be devastating. And I want to mention this about the restraining, because we talked about the restraining of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, he who restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit's going to release, and the Lord's going to release and let these things begin to happen once the church is out of here. But guys, you got to realize, we're the salt of the earth. Did you realize that right now, okay, look at America and all the sins we are guilty of before God. Even recently, some of the things we've done right in God's face, okay? Because of the church, America is now restrained from evil. If America is now under restraint from evil because we are the salt of the earth and the Holy Spirit's at work and we're doing what we're doing now, what's it going to be like when the salt is removed from this big country hand we call the planet? I used to be amazed you could hang a ham out in a barn. And as a kid growing up in the country, how do you hang a ham in the barn? It just stays good. And then I tasted it, and it was like, to me, awful. So I was like, you know, I don't like that. Some of you love it. You say, well, I love country ham. I grew up in the South. I'm a Southern boy, but I hate country ham. It's too salty for me, okay? It's too concentrated salt. But it makes a beautiful picture of what's going to happen when we're taken out of here. The world right now is restrained. Okay, listen, a restrained world, and we're killing babies and then taking their body parts and selling them for money. That's restrained. What would it be like if there was no restraint on the abortion community? We have no idea how evil we are. We have no idea how wicked we are without Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, if you then being evil, excuse me, Lord, we're your disciples. I know. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will the Father give to those? Okay, let's get back to the evil thing. Now, none of them did that. But every time I read that, I'm reminded I'm evil. And the only reason I'm not doing evil is because Jesus Christ has come into my life. I'm born again, but the evil mark is still in there. And our definition of evil is very different from God's definition of evil. Any sin is considered wicked and evil in the sight of a holy God. Any sin. Any sin. I just took a piece of bubble gum from my boss's bubble gum bowl at work. It looks so good, nobody will ever know. We smile about that. The Bible says it is wickedness before God. His definition of purity and holiness, we can't even grasp. That is why when I first came to Christ, God showed me just a teeny tiny bit of his purity. It's the first time I learned what the word weeping really meant. I wept at my evil. I had no idea my heart was as black and dark as it was. Listen, even Christians, guys, when we're pushed to the limit, we can be ugly, can't we? Christians can be ugly. Why? Because we have the two natures, the born again saying, don't do that, and the other one going, get him, you know? He deserves it, right? Now take all the people of the earth who don't have the Holy Spirit restraining them. They don't know Christ. They're only in their evil nature. And now everything falls apart. They can't get food. They can't get drink. They can't get water. There's a little bit for everybody. Not everybody has enough. What do you think is going to happen? It's going to be totally chaotic. during this. And so with each of these seals, it only increases exponentially. Look at verse 7. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. And again, that thundering voice. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on him was Death. And Hades followed with him. Now, death, it's interesting. Death is, it appears in Scripture, it's a thing. I mean, I know we die. But there's something to death that is actually a property. It has some essence, and I don't claim to understand it, but the Scripture speaks of it as though it does. Hades, we know, is that holding tank. Hades is that place where everyone who dies without Jesus, they go to Hades, and they stay there until Judgment Day. Jesus talked about that in Luke chapter 16, as well as it talks about it in the Old Testament. So it makes sense. So what happens is death goes through the earth. People are dying. Death is taking all these people that are now killing each other and all the battles over the food and the famines and the world until the chaos. It's New Orleans times 10 all over the world with nowhere to escape. And death is taking all this. And then Hades is following. Why? Because Hades is just getting filled up. One after another, they're just dropping by thousands down into Hades, waiting for Judgment Day. And notice power was given to them, that is death and Hades, over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and by the beasts of the earth. Guys, a fourth of the earth, I know we were at 7 billion. We're not at 8 billion yet, are we? Anybody know the number? Still 7 billion something. Yeah, okay. That's a little under 2 billion is a quarter. Is that right? Almost 2 billion, but under 2 billion. So 1 billion something at this one seal will die. That's all of Canada, America, Mexico. That many people gone. Like that. What is this earth going to be like? And notice, it says here how they're going to die. They'll be killed with the sword, so there'll be violence, people killing each other. They'll die of hunger. We saw the famines just that last time with death. And this one's interesting. Note this at the end of verse 8, and by the beasts of the earth. You know, I didn't say anything about all the shark attacks in North Carolina, and I'm not going to now, and yet I am. I'm not going to say anything about it in the context that I might, because I'm not confident about it, so I'm not. But I'm going to mention it for this reason. It was right after we did all these things we did in America that happened. And there was a sudden just jump in all these shark attacks. And luckily, there wasn't that many that died. I don't know that any actually died. But it is interesting that he mentions here part of the judgment of God in Revelation, as well as I believe it's Isaiah. God says that when a nation or a people continue to turn against me, I will turn the beasts of the land against them. So I'm not saying that that's what happened to the shark attacks. It could have been some kind of ocean current that moved the sharks from their normal habitat in that thing. And it could be a very normal, logical, scientific explanation. So that's why I never said anything about it and said, this is what it is. And I never mentioned it on Signs of the Times. And I didn't say anything about it Sunday morning. And I'm not saying now that's what it is. I'm saying it brings this application, though, or illustration rather, to the forefront. Can you imagine sharks all up and down every beach just attacking everybody? Can you imagine the mountain lions coming down in California and Arizona, the regions they're in, and just attacking people? Can you imagine more and more snake bites of the rattlesnakes in the Smokies? And all these different things, bears, black bears starting to attack people. This is the kind of stuff that's going to be going on. God is going to use the animals also to rid the earth of mankind. Those that have rebelled against him. So, interesting when I see these kind of things, kind of a slight precursor, who knows. And now he opens the fifth seal. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? That is, these are those who died during the great tribulation. They got saved after the rapture. How do we know that? He said, because when are you going to judge those who dwell on the earth? These are people that got killed by the people on the earth. And we'll see that more in detail later. But they're wanting vengeance. They're wanting God to judge them and all this kind of stuff. And notice it's not time. God wants to wait until the right moment of judgment. We talked about the different words for God's wrath. And there's one that means stored up, reasoned, storing up. It's a reasoned wrath with reasoning as you think about it. You wait and you wait. It's not this sudden outburst, I've had enough. No, it's this reasoned wrath. And when the time is right, boom, God will mete out the exact proper judgment. They're saying, Lord, how long? And then it says, verse 11, then a robe was given to them, each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer. until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. So there'll be a time that this will happen, but just relax. Apparently these had just died and come into heaven, and now they're being covered with this robe of righteousness that the Bible says all the saints will have. And by the way, I believe personally, the Bible doesn't tell us, but I believe that Adam and Eve had these robes on. Now, they're not robes like we think of, little white robes with slippers and all this. It probably was even something you wouldn't see other than an aura, or the Lord saw it, probably a spiritual thing. But why do I believe that? Because remember, when after they sinned, he said, who told you you were naked? How'd you find that out? Well, that doesn't take me long to figure out. I don't know about you guys. I can figure out, you know, I better stop because, I don't mean to paint pictures and but you guys know what I'm saying. It doesn't take a genius to figure out when you're not clothed, okay? How do I get out of this? Let's move along. So I believe they were clothed in a robe of righteousness. And they were spiritually naked, as well as physically, because we know they did indeed try to cover themselves. But there was a spiritual nakedness, I believe, too. And I believe we're going to have that re-robing. Remember, they were created in God's image, and this was before the fall. So they were walking with God in that purity and that holiness and that 100 percentile range. Well, when we're walking with God that way, we're going to have that robe of righteousness in heaven that covers us. So something that covers our nakedness in a spiritual sense, so to speak. And he says, don't worry, that judgment's coming. Now we come to the sixth seal. He says, I looked, and when he opened the sixth seal, behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. Again, there are numerous things that could do that. Volcanoes. You know, we've had enough volcanic activity in certain areas to see that it turns the sky so dark, the sun looks black. The moon looks black. There's even times I've seen forest fires. I remember a forest fire in the mountains there outside of Santa Fe one time. We looked up and the sun looked red, blood red, going through the smoke. Now, that wasn't what it was talking about here. It wasn't the end times yet. But again, I believe this very well could be what's happening. All the upheavals that are taking place. Why? Because notice, here's why. And I believe probably it's due to the asteroids striking the earth. Look at verse 13. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. Now, the word stars, don't be stumbled by that. It just means luminaries, lights. And John's just writing down the vision as he sees it. So John sees these flashes of light falling to the earth. You know, they say a fig tree, all it takes is a good breeze when they're ripe and they just fall right off the tree. So imagine this, what he's visioning, he's seeing all these meteorites and asteroids coming into the earth. And guys, as they strike the earth, the scientists say it would throw a cloud or plume in the air that would surround the entire earth, just a few of them. And so as they're striking the earth, it would appear they're blackening the skies. And now even the sun and the moon look black, some light coming through, but not a lot because of these asteroids hitting the earth. And by the way, it is interesting that scientists are concerned about asteroids hitting the earth. The government even has a plan in place to shoot a nuclear weapon, if there's one coming at the earth, to shoot it at it, to try to explode it out in space before it hits the earth because of the major damage that it would do. A lot of scientists believe that the reason all the dinosaurs and others went suddenly extinct was because of a meteorite. Some say even possibly the one in Arizona. They're outside of Flagstaff, the big crater, the 5 mile around thing. I don't know if you've ever seen that before or not. It's 500 feet deep or something like that. But they're saying one that would hit the earth that size could literally flip the earth on its axis. And what's interesting, when they found a lot of the woolly mammoths and those kind of things, they found them encased in ice, fast frozen in ice. Now, there may be other explanations with the flood and all that went on with that, but if an asteroid was to hit, boom, and flip the earth, and where it's like nice and warm and sunny and tropical, you're thrown in the middle of what is now the North or South Pole, frozen like that. They wouldn't have time but to look around, run a little bit, and freeze. They'd just be frozen super fast in these way below zero temperatures. So either way, what it would be like, we don't know. But again, look how the earth is going to be shaking and rocking from these meteorites hitting the earth and maybe asteroids and the sky filled with all this cloud and dust and all this going on. It says, and then the sky receded as a scroll. Now, this is the very end. Receded as a scroll when it's rolled up. Imagine looking at the sky, and all of a sudden it's rolling up like a scroll. God just says, okay, I'm done with this one. It's time for a new one. And remember, he's gonna be creating a new heaven and a new earth. Now, again, the new heaven and the new earth isn't going to be until 1,000 years later. So I don't know what's going to be replacing all the stars until then. Who knows what kind of glory we're going to be seeing emanating from the earth and all. We don't know. Maybe some of the stars he doesn't roll up. I don't know, but the stars are going to be rolled up like a scroll. We'll have to wait till we see it to find out. But you know, get out one night when the stars are really bright and you can see good, And just imagine just being rolled up. What an awesome scene that would be. How it would be freakishly scary if you didn't know your God was doing it and he was your dad. But what an amazing thing to see when you know it's your dad and you're going to be okay. Just amazing. And notice this. He says, and also at this time, every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Could be the earthquakes, the meteorites striking the earth, the asteroids, we don't know. But the bottom line, it says that all of the mountains are going to be leveled. Mount Everest, everything's going to be leveled. There aren't going to be any mountains on the earth. And it talks about this in other places in Isaiah. The whole topography of the earth is going to change. The Bible says when this happens, when all the mountains are knocked low at this moment, it says that Jerusalem will be raised up. It'll be the highest mountain on earth. And it'll be raised up, and that one Temple Mount area is going to be like some 26 miles by 26 miles platform. It's like 40 acres now. The size of our property is the size of the Temple Mount today. But now our property is kind of elongated. Kind of looks like Israel, or I like to think so. If I twist this way and put one leg that way and do that, and squint, it kind of does. But if you were to scoot it all in into a rectangular square, the size of our property is the Temple Mount today. It's going to be way bigger than that. It's going to go out like something like 20-some miles. And everyone will come up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And all the mountains will bow down because every mountain will be lower than the mountain of God. And so this is talking about when that day happens. It says, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, that is all these that have rejected God and rebelled against him to the very end, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? This is the moment when they finally figure out those crazy Christians were right. Up to this point, they think we're nuts. They think we're crazy. They reject us. They're glad we're gone. And anybody that didn't receive the mark, they're troublemakers, get rid of them, kill them, you know, do whatever you have to, lock them up in internment camps, do whatever, murder them, cut their heads off, do whatever you have to do, get rid of them. And then this is the point they're going to realize he really is coming, because it says every eye will see him. And they'll realize, now I've got to stand before this Jesus the Christ, Almighty God, creator of the universe, and I've got to be judged. And it says they're crawling in the mountains, fall on me, destroy me, thinking they're hoping that maybe getting crushed and hidden, they'll never have to face him. But even if it fell on them and crushed them, they would still stand before the Lord and be judged. Again, Isaiah speaks about this as well, about the kings of the earth and those going into the cave saying, fall on us. It's talking about the same thing here in Revelation. Now, there's another picture about how I talked about. Remember in the Bible, it doesn't use chronology. You see it back in Isaiah. Now, you see it here in Revelation. That's all over the Bible. But now, if you know where to plug it in, when you're reading Isaiah and you see that they went into the caves and said, fall on us, you know where to plug it into Revelation. That's how this works. And the more you see it, the more you learn it, the more you'll find where it goes, and you have your chronology in place for it. But says they're trying to hide from the Lord, for the great day of his wrath has come. Wow.
The book of Revelation is a good reminder that things happening here on earth have an expiration date. There isn't an indefinite amount of time for evil to persist. If you're honest, you'd likely admit it would be nice to have a reset, a clean slate, a new world of sorts. Well, did you know that Jesus is bringing this about sometime in the future? What a thing to look forward to. Like any blockbuster, end-of-the-world movie, there's always some culmination between good and evil. But guess what? The things mentioned in Revelation will happen. They're not just some made-up plot line to make lots of money at the box office. So keep grounded in the book of Revelation as we uncover more and more of God's heart behind all that will occur. Pastor Mark will continue next time in the book of Revelation. But before we go, we'd like you to know about a way that you can join us this weekend. At Calvary Knoxville, we have several services. We meet on Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. We also have a midweek service at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings. Come join us and be part of what's going on here. Find out more at thewaymedia.net. You can also give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that phone number is 865-609-1385. Thanks for being a part of our listening audience. If you'd like to hear these messages whenever you'd like, download the Way Media app. We hope you'll continue with us next time in the book of Revelation, here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.